Seven nights in hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven nights in hell is.
What is going
this
on?
This fucking people? Sucks!
What is going on, people? It is 79th and Hollis. We are here. This is episode 231. You guys, Scott and Flo's.
I gotta honor us. We've been doing this for 231 episodes of bullshit.
How many of these episodes were actually good times?
Last week.
I'm 2018? Talking as a season. It's just 2018.
2018, that's it.
Is it?
2018 was like, niggas got to come see us. They got to come to Soldier Field.
I miss those pods. I miss those pods a lot, man. But it's your guy, Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram, man. If you listen to this on Sunday, October 15th, that means you are a loyal Patreon subscriber. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, you need to subscribe to Patreon right now. Patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Subscribe to the 79th and Hollis tier, which is the $5 holler. Or you could just be even smarter and get everything we have at the network, including summer sessions and other podcasts where you can subscribe to the $10 Barbershare Network All Access podcast, All Access tier. So you can get the 79th and Hollis podcast and videos on the same day instead of having to wait till midday on Monday. But we are here. Yet another devastating loss. The Bears lose 19-13. To the Minnesota Vikings at Soldier Field. They have not won a game at Soldier Field in 385 days and counting. One of the many crazy-ass stats you will hear on this show today, me and Flo's. But so before we get into the Bear, how was your actual weekend? Because I feel like we have to do like a little bit of non-Bears talk here a little bit because I just don't want to talk about the niggas all damn day.
Terrible. I mean, I'm a very open book with people, so I was dealing with a few panic attacks over the week, so I didn't go to a lot of work. I think I was at work one day last week. She was ass. So
you weren't at the game today?
Wasn't at the game today. It's just recovering from if I have a panic disorder and an anxiety disorder, kind of all wrapped in one. And if you deal with that, you know, sometimes once you go through it, especially because my last big panic attack was probably 2017. I deal with anxiety.
It's been a minute.
And so, you know, when you go through that, you don't want to run and leave the house. You don't want to do anything. Getting out of the house is kind of terrifying. So I've been out the house the past 3 days, making the most of it. So Saturday wasn't bad. Friday was today was fine. Even though the Bears sucked, I had been through so much the past week that I was not going to let them like ruin my Sunday. It got to the point where I started laughing. So I would say my Friday sucked. Saturday and Sunday were perfectly fine. I had watched some good ass football. Saturday was great. It was terrible football because college football sucks, but it was entertaining football. And it got me to realize it's me and Scott called Caleb Williams colored color. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about Caleb later in the show. I added that to the rundown. I want to give, since we're heading down that fucking path anyway, might as well do Caleb's Corner on 79th and Hollis.
We Caleb's break down Corner this is crazy.
Every week. But my weekend has been pretty good so far, man. I've been chilling. You know, enjoying this time away from not traveling and enjoying this beautiful weather we have here in Los Angeles right now.
I probably would have took a break anyway because, yeah, this was a lot of shit.
I don't think people understand, like, yes, people say, oh, it's got to be fun. Don't get me wrong. It is fun. But we've been doing this. This is my third season covering the Bears. This is Joe's fourth season covering the Bears. This shit is work. Like, it's not like we just go to the game, just watch the game. No, we go to the game, we're live tweeting, we're taking notes, think about questions to ask in the press conference, think about questions to ask the players. And you got to sit in the locker room. 9 times out of 10, these niggas lost. So you got to look at body language. You got to listen to Flu say a whole bunch of words speak again. You got to hear Justin saying we're going to be all right. I think we're in the right direction. Go on the field, do the post-game video. Before you know it, and then you got to edit. You got to do this. Before you know it, we're spending damn near all day at these arenas. You know what I'm saying? Like, when even on road games, like when I did the Thursday night game, I got to FedEx Field at like fucking 8. Now, I left out for FedEx Field at like around 6 p.m. I didn't get back to the hotel till about 1:32 in the morning. Like, this is a full-time job, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where it's a lot that's put into it, and it doesn't help when you're watching shitty ass football every goddamn week. So that on top of it, but
it's like folks were like with Brock Purdy, like he didn't have a great game. It wasn't awful.
It wasn't
up to his
standard. Plays to win.
So you got to deal with. I mean, he made the plays that they should have won.
Yeah, like they should have won. That's why
they should have won. He put you in a perfect spot.
They should have won that game. Yeah.
But if I am a 49ers fan, the worst I have to deal with is other fans saying Brock Purdy trash. I told you niggas. Even though, like, he has less interceptions in a year than most of niggas have throughout the entire. I'm pretty sure he only has one interception so far. So the worst thing happened.
Coaching.
Exactly. The worst you have to deal with as a 49ers fan right now is the fact that other fans are going to say he was trash. But at the end of the day, you only lost one game. You're 5-1. You're used to having a good product on the field as a 49er fan. When the last time a 49ers were just actual ass, like sustained ass?
It's been probably 20 years, bro.
I'm curious now. I'm going to just look up 49ers record 20 years.
Because remember, even before the Shanahan – well, no, the year they was ass was the year that they had a number – that so 2017. 2017.
So they had the Thomasu Chip Kelly. So Chip Kelly was he was 2-14. That's ass.
Yeah.
The year before that, they were 5-11. Also ass. But before that, you were 8-8, 12-4, 11-4, 13-3. 8-8, 7-9, 5. So you're the last time
that was a hardball era, right?
That was Singletary Mike Nolan. That's the last time you saw like just sustained.
No, I mean, ass. Like when they were good, like before that.
Oh, it's Harbaugh. Yeah, it's Harbaugh.
But like
Harbaugh's last year was 8-8, and then of course you have a year where it's Tom Sula, which is like, okay, you're gonna be ass. He knows you're gonna be ass. Chip Kelly comes in completely ass. Then Shanahan starts, and then Shanahan starts. You see an immediate improvement in wins. Then of course you get to Super Bowl. Then yeah, so you have a few seasons sprinkled out here, like 2020. But then since then, you've had sustained success. So you haven't dealt with it. If I go to the 90s, you know what the fuck they did in the 90s and the 80s. I don't have to tell you that. But most of your time as a 49ers fan has been.
I don't know
been,
how we got on this 49ers rant, by the way.
But this is 7th. This is what we do. Most of your time as a 79ers fan is you're used to sustained success. Like the big hole I see here is the early 2000s. Yeah, you kind of sucked ass. But outside of that, you're used to sustained success. And I imagine if you were a journalist like me and Scott, you were a reporter like me and Scott, media, and you're covering the team, and I started when 2019? You're right before the pandemic.
You started in 2020.
2020, right, the pandemic year. If I'm covering them, I'm used to seeing a good team. With the Bears, no. You know? So it just kind of, it makes everything tougher when the team's not good. Imagine if I was covering the Chiefs. I'd have been like, wow, I'm used to this.
Well, I told the Chiefs beat writers a couple weeks ago. I was like, all y'all look refreshed and happy. Like, what's it like covering a winning team? They were laughing, but I'm like, I'm dead ass serious. But and that's why when
Chiefs had a losing season since 2012. You kidding me?
Right. Like, though, like, and then I was like, I think, and then people, you know, a lot of Bears, why Bears media is so miserable. You cover these niggas every damn day. And these motherfuckers got to go to every practice. Like, me and Joe, independent media, so we don't have to be at the fucking facility every damn day and all damn day. These niggas got to stay there. They got to get quotes. You be fucking miserable, too. They've been covering this team 15, 20 years. It's been my third year. I'm already fed the fuck up. I had the thoughts of myself, hey, I don't know how much longer I can do this shit. Like, that was a serious thought. But my weekend was good. Saturday was cool. I like to thank College Football Twitter for accepting me and embracing me as one of your own.
Because you actually watching this time.
I'm actually watching. Damien said I've been saying this bullshit for 5 years. I'm like, no, I was just fake. Right? I was not watching. I'm actually watching. I've watched every week. Literally, I've watched every week this season. Like, first it started with just watching Colorado games. And I started watching all these other games. Now I'm tuned in every Saturday, all day. And so I had a good time watching bad but entertaining football yesterday. I'm to the point where I'm not letting the Bears, really not just Bears, my sports teams, ruin my day. Like, I'll get upset during the game, but 20, 30 minutes later, I'm good. Like, especially a team like the Bears, they're just under shit. Like, at that point, you're not doing nothing but making yourself upset. But let's talk about this specific game. What was your immediate reaction to the shit that you saw in this game today?
It proves what I'm used to, the fact that players, within the Bears organization show promise but never pan out. And now I'm used to a coach showing promise but never panning out. Getsy has the ability to call a good game. He just doesn't. He called two good games in a row, and then he followed those up with a stinker.
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, if their coaches do that, Shanahan, and I don't even know who the fuck his OC is, but they didn't call a good game offensively. But you give them leeway because Shanahan has been to the top, the mountaintop, at least when it comes to football. Ain't won it, but he's been there. Because he's a part of the Atlanta team, right? That blew that lead. Am I correct?
Shanahan? Yeah, yeah, he was the offensive coordinator. He stopped running the fucking football.
So he's been to, but at least I can say, at least when it comes to them, they've been to two Super Bowls. So I can say, yeah, Shanahan didn't call a good game this today, but he'll do better. With Getsy, my assumption is, he's going back to his old habits of calling terrible plays. Yes, the running game works, but this is the modern NFL. It's time for you to start passing it. I mean, Justin threw 10 times, and I think only –
by the way.
Yeah, which is crazy. Which is crazy. Through three quarters
– Six in the first half.
Six in the first half. And people are like, oh, it's just – I'm like, bro, he didn't throw. And then, of course, as Bears look, the one time Justin loads up to throw to his number one receiver, he gets hit, the ball gets tipped, it's an interception. It's just like straight up Bears luck. But this is unfortunately the team you have. I forgot who's the 49er, the Vikings defensive coordinator. He has a habit of not showing anything, and then you have to just deal with what he's doing. I get that. But this is the NFL. This is the NFL, and there are always telltales of what somebody's going to do. And what thing you know about him is what? Pressure. There's going to be pressure, which is why the running game was effective. He has the habit of bringing pressure, especially on the outside. It opened up the B gap. It opened up the C gap quite often. So knowing that, maybe it was time to get the ball out to even a drag route. I don't know if I saw a drag route today.
You didn't see the drag route today.
You know what I'm saying? A drag route is an arrow route. I think I saw two arrow routes today, and Justin and Tyson Badgett both made those throws. But that's it. It's like, what are you going to put your quarterback in a position to succeed? And then, of course, Bears fans who said, we got to see what you got in Tyson Badgett. You saw it, Nick. Two turnovers, quarter and a half.
It's just
– so, you know, I don't think any player will succeed with this coaching staff. When is it time as – an executive in this organization to say, enough's enough. I'm moving on. They have not beat an NFC North team, which I didn't even realize.
They are 0-8 in the Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles era. They got swept by the Packers last year, swept by the Lions last year, swept by the Vikings last year, and are 0-2 against the Packers and the Vikings this year. And if you think what you saw, imagine what Jared Goff is going to do to this defense next month.
Head off the Bears.
See that 45-yard touchdown just through to Jameson Williams just a second ago. Like, bro, like, it's going to be nasty work. They're gonna and on top of that, defensively, what Aiden Hutchinson is gonna do to this offensive line is illegal in all 50 states. Like, it's just the Detroit Lions. I cannot believe I'm saying this. Detroit Lions are what you want in a rebuild. They found them the right GM. You know what I'm saying? He's black. Let me Google my man's name real quick.
While you're doing it, I'll say they did it the right way. It took a lot for the Lions to figure out who they were as an identity. Dan Campbell, who every time I see him, I say, man, you would think this dude's a defensive guy. He was a freaking tight end.
He was a tight ends coach.
He was a tight end, and he was a tight ends coach. He's not only is he a player's coach, the players love him, but he knows what he's doing, and he brings people around him that know what they're doing. It's so important that every coach knows what they're doing, because a head coach needs coordinators who know what they're doing to help develop and design the schemes that they want to run. Then there's a play caller between those two. But even if you're a head coach who calls plays, like Andy Reid called plays plenty of times when it comes to being with Matt Nagy, and before him, Bieniemy, they need to be in sync so that they make calls together. When you don't have that, everything fails. And then, of course, outside of coaches, you have skilled players that want to succeed and skilled players that know what they're doing and fitting in. The Bears have DJ Moore, a good skill, great skill player. You have Darnell Mooney.
And they don't feed him enough. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
And then it's like, which is why you do certain things to get a player open. And bear in mind, the Vikings were triple and double teaming him. which was basically you're gonna have to beat us with somebody else.
That's fine. You have Darnell Mooney. Like this is my thing. And look, I don't think I've been saying this about Darnell Mooney for years. I don't think he's a number two. I told you on a championship team, I think Mooney is a three at best.
Yeah.
And I'll be 100% 100% clear. We put in a group chat today. On I'm not gonna hold you group chat. Mikey put a list. He said this is the list of people he think he doesn't who's not gonna come back next year. Eddie Jackson, Cody Whitehair, Lucas Parker. Patrick, Dante Foreman, and Larry Borum. He said, anybody else think I'll add a list? I'm pretty sure that Mooney ain't going to be back next year because you're going to have a chance to get Supermoff. So why I need Mooney? I will go out there, DJ Supermoff, roll, see what you got in Tyler Scott. Like, there's no point of paying a Darnell Mooney, and I like Mooney.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that I saw today that just kind of, like, blow my mind. And it's not just this game. We see this consistently. I don't get how you're coming. First of all, you had 10 days off. You know that the fucking Vikings send heat on almost every fucking play. That's Brian Flores' philosophy. You look like you just looked at their film last night. There was no preparation. Why the fuck you got running backs blocking? Like, even on a just interception, that's not on him. And by the way, some of you people, and I hate going off on, like, Bears Twitter. It's not even the fans who piss me off. It's you fake-ass reporter niggas who be pissing me off. And y'all be wearing y'all little suits and y'all Avies thinking y'all at the place. Y'all not there. Like, and then you try to tell people what's going on because you got an All-22 account on NFL Plus and you don't even know what the fuck you looking at. Like, that's not on Justin. You know what I'm saying? It's scheme. So it looks like they weren't even prepared for the pass rush. You know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't prepared for that at all. I don't get how, after how you seen Justin play the last 2 weeks, you don't give him every opportunity to throw that ball. It's like Justin has to play perfect. 39-yard pass to Darnell Mooney. What the fuck do you do? Three straight run plays. Third and seven. You're running the football. What are you doing? It just don't make any sense. It's like you're intentionally setting him up to fail. And I am not by any means taking Justin criticism away because he was doing some dumb shit again today. Like I forgot what drive it was. But there was a drive where I think he got sacked. And it's like his brain freezes. Mm-hmm. It's like, you remember I used to play NBA 2K? Not even to NBA 2K, NBA Live, mm-hmm. or like WWE SmackDown, and there'll be a glitch, mm-hmm. and like your player keep rock bottoming the nigga over and over again. That's how Justin's brain be looking when he can't decide whether he want to run or throw.
Yeah,
DJ was open, but let's just say you're just not you're comfortable on that. Run the fucking football. I don't know if this is something that is his mind or that the coaching staff is messing him up so much and he's scared to run. But it's a mix. I think it's bad coaching and it's also Justin. Yeah. But I don't understand how when Justin has to play perfect, he makes a bad play and you go back to the conservative bullshit. It's a collective gumbo of mess that you see from the Bears offensively. Defensively, yeah. I was impressed. I liked what I saw from this defense today, especially against the offense in the Vikings who puts up points.
Yeah, I think if you're
let me just say this.
I'll cut you off.
And I think it shows what happens when your secondary is healthy. I love Eddie Jackson. It's over. I love it. I love Bo Jack. He's one of my favorite players. It's over. He's got hurt again over the same foot he hurt last year at MetLife Stadium. I think it's a wrap. But you see the impact when Kyler Gordon's healthy. You see the impact when Jalen Johnson is healthy. And then it has Blackwell and those guys who've been and the Stroman who've been filling in the last couple weeks and been getting reps, they're able to play their position better. And then yep. when your secondary is better, it helps with your linebackers. Today was the best game I've seen from TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds together.
They looked good.
They looked good. I think that I'm not 100% mad. At first, I was mad at the TJ Edwards turnover, reversal. But then I looked again, his feet didn't look like they were in bounds when he recovered. But either way, great game by both. The pass rush was better. It's been better the last 2 weeks. It's not going to get great because you don't have any elite guys on there. But like you said, Joe, countless times all seasons, Yannick Ngakoue is worth the money that they're giving him.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Billings has been a beast all year. Yeah. We saw a little bit of Zach Pickens today. So I have zero complaints about the defense.
Yeah,
the offensive strategy and the offense have got to get their shit together.
The only people I want to return on offense, the line, I just want Tevin to be healthy, but I want Tevin.
Oh, Tevin's back. A beast when he's healthy.
I want Tevin and I want Darnell. Everybody else can go. Everybody can go. Braxton, but it also shows you how much of an improvement Braxton is from Larry Bourne. Larry Bourne's bad.
And Braxton's bad. But Larry Borum is XFL bad.
You know what I'm saying? It is. I saw him pass off a free rusher to his nobody because there was no help on there. I'm pretty sure Foreman had to chip on the end that was coming in. And on top of that, you had your left guard in Tevin Jenkins, who was able to block him. So it's not just a push with one hand and then let me get the end. It was a let me block him completely and double team. You don't have to do that. So those are the only people I'm bringing back on the offensive line. Of course, I like DJ Moore. There are plenty. The running back room is fine. I don't have a problem with Kmet. Ain't great either. And I would probably prefer to have.
I won't Kmet the fuck about it. I'm sorry. You got to upgrade that position. He's too goddamn slow.
I would prefer to have Bowers from Georgia, but I don't see how.
But also, Kmet's Bowers not gonna happen. Well, Bower could happen.
It could. Justin would have to play great.
No,
it's Justin. But hear me out. Justin would have to play great because he would have to play great. That means you can take that pick and do something else. Because if he doesn't, you're gonna take those two picks and get Caleb and Marv. That's what you're gonna do. It's almost. Justin has to perform.
I'm not disagreeing. Good
to great for the rest of the season for that to not be the first two picks,
which is actually the perfect segue into our next topic. But this is a thing too, and like I tweeted this at the end of the game. So Justin got hurt, and by the way, I knew he was getting injured from the second play of this game. I just knew it was the way that the Vikings were hitting him. He got cracked in the head, and there was no foul call. There was a couple. Justin gets no calls. No. Like, there was a couple he got hit. If that was Patrick Mahomes, them niggas would be executed from the NFL. Like, them niggas would be over. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I just knew from the way they were hitting him that he was going to get hurt. So he got hurt. So Matt Eberflus said he didn't break anything in his hand. In fact, it's not a hand injury. It's his right thumb injury. Justin wanted to come back, but he couldn't palm the football. X-rays were negative. He's going to have an MRI tomorrow. One thing I know from being a Chicago White Sox fan, I don't give a fuck with any diagnosis you give until I see the MRI results.
Yeah,
I do not care. How many times we've seen with the White Sox, MRIs were, the X-ray were clean, and you come out, Luis Robert's out for 8 months. So I'm waiting for the MRI to come out before I do anything. But this is why I feel like you're not wrong, and this is why I feel like the injury is not timely. And I said this last week on the podcast. I said Justin cannot get injured. Yep. Justin cannot get injured because that's damn near going to seal his fate. Yep. And that's why I feel like Justin knows this. That's why I feel like unless it's just unbearable, I believe he's going to play on Sunday. That's because he knows the severity of this situation. Yep. And I tweeted this after the game. It is unfortunate, but like you said, I just don't see a scenario right now where Caleb Williams is not drafted by the Bears, whether it's the Bears' own pick or Carolina's own pick. And I saw a lot of you niggas when Carolina was up 14-0 losing it. I was like, you really think Mike McDaniel finna let these niggas come and beat them? I went and saw the final score. It was 42-21. I didn't have a doubt in my mind they was gonna win that game.
Yeah.
The Carolina might win a game. Like, I think they're gonna go 1-16.
Yeah.
And that one win might come against the Bears.
Yeah.
But whether it's the Bears or the Panthers, I just don't see a way that Caleb doesn't get drafted. And we'll talk more about Caleb's play at the end of the show. But I'm not opposed to Caleb being there. I don't think he's this can't-miss generational prospect, but he is a good prospect. But it doesn't matter if you don't have the infrastructure. And that's what scares me as a Bears fan, because we're going to be going more backwards than we are now. And that's this show. You're right. We can talk about the Brock Bowers. If it was up to me, if I was the general manager of the Bears, I would keep Justin no matter what the fuck he does the rest of the season. Trade that number one pick, because if you thought you got a lot for the Bryce Young pick, oh, nigga, you can get any state you want.
Oh, man, you.
For the Caleb Williams, that's going to be that's going to make the ransom that the Dallas Cowboys got, which they ended up getting Emmitt and Michael Irvin in that draft, it's going to make that look like play.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, I would do that, and then you can get whoever the fuck you want.
Yeah, because I would say that, yeah, I agree, because with Caleb, and a lot of scouts think he's like the best prospect they've ever seen, teams are going to have to give up probably a defensive standout, an offensive standout, in addition to a lot of draft picks. And that could flip a franchise around almost instantly. If I was the GM, I would probably fire Eberflus now. Just completely. That would probably make Getsy your interim head coach. And maybe Janico becomes the coordinator. But all I would be trying to do right now is to see if there's something to build off with Justin. Because at the end of the day, I know who Caleb is because I've watched Caleb for the past 2 years. And people say, oh, man, Justin holds on to the ball. You ain't seen holding on to the ball yet, Playboy. You ain't seen holding and on to the ball.
Somebody told me today, oh, he holds the ball like Pat. No, he doesn't. Stop putting Pat in these conversations. What did y'all do for 10 years? Next LeBron, next LeBron. There's no next LeBron. The next LeBron is LeBron James, okay?
Like, niggas like, well, Wimbyama is a better processor. I was like, no. Okay.
No, now, Wimbyama is going to be a freak of fucking nature, but he's not LeBron James.
7'3 with four boys. I don't want to hear it. This ain't men basketball.
That era of basketball is gone, my brother.
It is gone until you get to the playoffs. You're like, nigga, we need boards.
Everybody you're right about that. But the Spurs won't.
And this is why you love Jokic, because not only is Jokic going to score, he's going to get 20 boards. You know what I'm saying? You always need
boards. Giannis, too.
AD gets more AD
as
that.
Much as AD's problem is not AD's hooping. No. It's him staying healthy.
So I say that to say you need to have the person who is in that position to do all of the right things. Football is not rocket science.
But the
these are men throwing a leather ball.
Yeah.
It's easy. People who are in professional football, I don't give a fuck what you say, you have the easiest job in the world. You do not have a real job. You are not working like actual working people. You get to play
people
for
people who are professional sports, not just football.
You get to play. People say, all the hard work I have to do. Yeah, you got to do it playing a sport. Congratulations. The rest of us have to go to our 9-to-5s, worry about how I'm going to pay this off. Maybe I'll max out this credit card so I can get this loan. Like, it's like that's actual real world stuff. You're a professional athlete. And on top of that, you're a rich professional athlete. For the majority of human history, there were not rich professional athletes. So, yes, you have an easy job, which is why it is so bad as a fan and as a and as media when I can sit back and go, so they're sending pressure, get the ball out fast. When the ball gets out fast, go back to the running game. When both of those things cause them to take a little pause, throw it deep. It's that simple. The game of football is nothing. There has been no real new developments in football. There have not been real new developments of football in a long time. Because the offense is scoring more because they're throwing more. Yeah. When the invention of football came around and became organized, running the ball was the concept. And when you threw it, interceptions happened, you were used to it. Then, of course, you get more used to, okay, we can do it like this. We can do it like this. But there hasn't been any major improvements or changes to it in football in long enough time for you to think that there's a new way of inventing the wheel. Throw the ball when defenses are crowding the line of scrimmage. Why? Because if they're going to stack the box, you're going to make them pay for the fact that they're going to leave the middle of the field or those low routes or those curls, those comebacks or the flats open. Make them pay. If you become predictable, they're going to pick off your tendencies. For instance, Justin throws a curveball right to DJ Moore, but because DJ Moore has done that quite a few times, because this play is not sold correctly, what happens? The DB immediately runs up. There are ways to get around this, and the Bears have not gone into the 21st century to do it. And it can't be that, you know, it's 10 days off, a little rusty. Is that always going to be the excuse with Bears? Is it ever going to be, we're just consistent and we know how to play? The Dolphins were down 14-0. The Panthers scored 7 points after that.
The Bears 100% lose that game to the Panthers.
Yeah,
it was not that absolutely. Much. And, absolutely. Like, the thing was, like, when's the last time you saw a well-prepared – and disciplined Bears team. Like, this goes back to the last couple years of Lovey, where, like, they're just not disciplined. I'm going to keep saying this. We say it every week. Every week, I'm going to keep fucking saying it. We always talk about how much this franchise can't find a quarterback. They can't find a fucking coach either. Like, I'm going to just keep saying that, bro. And you're right. You got to fire Eberflus today. I don't care that Luke Getsy ain't no better. You got to get rid of these niggas, man. Like,
you got to get rid of them, bro.
You just got to cut that bait. And for everybody, I shout out my man JB. I told JB this. He was like, yeah. Actually, no, one JB was Dante. Dante said, you know, we just got to hope Kevin Warren does this. Why should I have any faith in Bunksuit? Tell me why I should have any faith in Bunksuit. He has not done this job before. Why should I have faith in anybody that George McCaskey gives a paycheck to? Explain that to me. I have zero faith in it.
You should.
Like Ryan Poles has to go.
Yeah.
Like, thank him for the draft picks, because that pick that trade for DJ Moore was – that is the only – if the Bears didn't have this in their wheelhouse right now, they would be even more fucked than they are now.
Yeah.
The fact that – and we can sit up here and talk about what, you know, we're not confident in Caleb Williams, whatever. Just the fact you have that as an option is an amazing landing thing and something to land on. So you to thank him for that and tell him to get the fuck up out of here. His fucking Hallis Hall key card should not be working on January 8th. You know how much – you know our shit be tweaking every now and then? You got to keep banging on the wall. His shouldn't be working at all.
Yeah.
On January 8th, period. Like, he has to go. But we were just talking about this last fucking year. That's what's irritating. We were just talking about it with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. And this is what's worse. These niggas are worse than Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible.
Right, I think it's about worse. Now you got two playoffs under this belt.
Like what? Like is what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
I want to with this podcast. We started this podcast almost 10 years ago now. What was our main thing? Two things. One, therapy for Vinton. Us, and two, therapy for Bears fans. I do not know what to tell you niggas anymore. Like, it is the lowest it's ever been. There used to be a point where, shout out to Jason Goff, he said this, where we knew what was wrong with the Bears. Nigga, you can flip a coin. Yeah. There's so many things wrong with these niggas. Like, do the Bears have five actual professional NFL players on this, like actual really good players on this roster? I'm not sure they do. Like, actual will be good on other teams.
I can name three. Who's TJ three? Tremaine, DJ.
Because they have been.
Yeah. Because TJ and Tremaine have done it before and DJ has done it before. Yes. Everybody else, no.
TJ Edwards is on a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Tremaine Edmonds has been in multiple playoff games. DJ Moore was a stud with hella bum throwing to him. Which the thing, Musa Muhammad said this years ago, the Chicago Bears were wide receivers go to die. If there's anything,
Tremaine is a two-time Pro Bowler.
So. Two-time Pro Bowler. If there's anything that we learned from DJ Moore, not just last week against Washington, but his whole career, just give him the fucking football. And he can make wonders with why he has one target. And then we got to hear motherfucking Pam Oliver, whoever the fuck was at halftime, talking about, well, even folks said we need to make an emphasis. That should, what do you mean you have to make an emphasis? That should be common sense. That should be like wake up in the morning and brush your teeth. You don't wake up in the morning and say, well, I need to do a better effort of trying to actually wash my ass. Like, this is common sense. Like, it just don't make it. It makes me angry when I think about it. Like, this is DJ Moore. Get him the fucking football and make him work. Even if it's a screen. How many of those touchdowns against Washington, which plays he made by himself, just give him the ball. Force feed if all I give a fuck. Like, it's just pointless shit. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And why they make the game of football look so hard. And we're not just talking about the elite teams like the Chiefs and niggas like that. The Jets make the game look easier than the Bears do.
Yeah.
The fucking Buccaneers. Like, you can name the weakest of teams. Gardner Minshew looks better than the fucking Bears. It doesn't make any sense to me, man. I'm losing it. But to stay more on track, what do you think are some of the ramifications for Justin with this injury? Like, because I already said what I think will happen. How do you think this affects everything?
He has to play great the rest of the year to not be traded and not be moved on from. Like, he'd have to be top five QB in the league to go, yeah, we can't move on from him. He's too good. Because as of right now, it's move on from him. And I would hope, you know, there's a team like Atlanta who has plenty of good players who could use a QB, and maybe he is an answer for him. I don't know. But as of right now, the injury hurts him the most because it comes at a time when there are question marks about him. If he had five games of him playing great football, it wouldn't be a thing. He'll get back to it. But because out of these five games, only two of them were great, the rest were ass, he's in a position right now where I don't think any sane GM would stay with him, you know. So it's unfortunate, but it's the reality.
Any sane GM would stay with Justin?
Would stick with him, yeah. So, because, we can say, okay, I saw what we saw.
Am I being just a Justin fan by not wanting him to go?
No, I don't.
Because you've been a fan of him since Ohio State.
I've seen enough in him to make me believe that there is a star QB inside of him. He can throw with anticipation. He made a great anticipation throw to DJ Moore today. But he's not giving the opportunity consistently to do that because the play calls aren't made in that way. When it comes to NFL, you cannot have consistently intermediate routes. I can't even do that on Madden. It's like me running freaking a post routes all day with an inside. So an inside in with your two wide receivers who are doing the slot slants, who are doing the slot positions, and then you have to deal with post on the outside. I couldn't constantly run that in Madden and think that's going to work. So why would I run that in real life and think that's going to work? But that's the type of play calling that's coming behind him. And since that's the case, I don't see how he grows or gets better in this team. Honestly, I would probably almost fire everyone, but it's just not really great to fire your coordinator, than your coach at the same time when you don't have a backup? Because who then becomes the head coach? Does Janico become the head coach? It's like you're fucked.
Well, not mid-season.
That's what I'm saying. So you're in a terrible position right now. And with Justin, I think there's stuff there, but is that enough to convince GMs and scouts? Nah, because GMs and scouts are convinced that Caleb Williams is like the next coming of Christ. So
basically what you're saying is what J.R. Bain was saying. I've been saying it too. So you don't need all right, let's put like Sean Moran, Herb Powell. He always used to do his Chase Claypool percentage. Give me a percentage that you feel that Justin Fields will be the quarterback of this team this time next year.
40%.
40? That's pretty damn high.
No, it's not that's an F. That's not even that's the vast majority is 60%. So
no. I mean, yeah, I know that. I'm saying I thought it was gonna be lower than that.
No, 40%. It's going that way.
I'm putting it at 10% just because now that I don't have confidence in him. Not that I don't have confidence in him because I want him back personally. I would bring him back. But I just don't like – because I feel like this injury, if it's serious, is going to knock him out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then time is starting to run low on you. And I feel like to the point where the organization is going to be hell-bent on getting a Caleb Williams. You know what I'm saying? My hope is this. I hope that – like, Ryan Poles got to go. Like, that to me is number one. Like, I think Eberflus, all them coaching niggas is going to go. Like, I'm like – I just don't see a scenario where they come back. Because I think Eberflus has the worst losing percentage of any starting head coach in the 104 or 105 year history of the Chicago Bears. That tells you a lot right there. So I feel like just off that, the Eberflus is going to be gone. But I feel like the general manager, that has to be something that is discussed. Like,
yeah,
what's my man name? If you're George McCaskey, like, you know what's the problem with the Bears? Like, we don't know who the fuck is running. Like, we know who's running it, but, like, what are they seeing? Like, how do they consistently make bad hires over and over and over and over again? Like, somebody has to come in and say, this shit is enough. Like, Poles gotta go. Like, if Poles is still here, that's a problem. My biggest fear is this. Is that Justin goes off, becomes this great quarterback we feel he can be in a situation that is good to him with actual coaches who understand the game. We get this really great talent in Caleb Williams, and he just is ass again. You know what I'm saying? Like that and then it's like, what the fuck? As a fan, what do you do? Because then it's like there's no help. Yeah. If you fuck up a dude as asinine as I think this comparison is, if you fuck up a dude who people say will go over Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence in the draft today, and you fuck him up, like what do you have anything to be excited about? Like as a fan,
I'd be out on this team. I'd be done. I'd be done completely because it's like, what more can you do?
Yeah,
I think it comes down to the McCaskies have to get the hell out their own way. If you want this team to succeed, maybe you don't need to be making the decisions. Maybe you need somebody who actually knows the sport. Because George, as old as he is, you don't understand football, clearly. Because if you understood football, you would have not had Ted Phillips as long as he was here. And you wouldn't have the people who are here right now. The only thing I can do is give Kevin Ward the benefit of the doubt, but I've been giving people the benefit of the doubt my entire life. So why should I trust that something's good is going to happen? Giving you the benefit of the doubt right now is a courtesy just because it's just what you do. I can't make a logical decision on a person is good or bad at their job until I see more evidence. And I have to do that just because logic dictates it. But reality, the empirical evidence I have in my own experience says that he's probably going to do it terribly. You know, inductively, in inductive logic, you look for probability. More likely to happen, I would assume that he doesn't do a good job. And this is a circle. Because with Caleb, the biggest worry I have is he holds the ball a lot in college.
Yeah.
Throws up some nonsense sometime, hoping his receivers
come out. Bullshit that NFL corners are going to eat.
What does he think is going to happen in the NFL?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're athletic now, but everybody else is like, you're not more. He's not. He's as athletic as he is. He's not more athletic than Justin is. And so you're not going to be able to get out the pocket like you think you are. So what do we expect is going to happen? He has a great arm. He has a cannon. He has a rocket. Just had a rocket too. So what's going to change with him here if there is no guidance and no leadership? And it concerns me. it worries me. I don't know if he's going to do good here because the Bears have a history of doing the opposite when it comes to good players. The Bears can get defensive players. The Bears can get a defense. But why is it so hard for the Bears to develop an offense? Why is it so hard for you to be able to run the ball successfully, get a quarterback who throws for 4,000 yards, get a quarterback who throws for 30-plus TDs? Why is it so hard for that to happen? You can get a 1,000-yard rusher. I've seen it plenty of times. I've seen countless 1,000-yard rushers at this team. I look at Roshan, I'm like, Roshan could probably be a 1,000-yard rusher. But why is it so hard to do the thing that is most popular in sport today, throw the ball? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And so I don't have hope of anything good happening. If I had to guess, the Bears don't win another game for the rest of the season. Flutes goes, Getsy goes, and Poles is still here. And then you have to say, well, we'll see what happens. The Bears, you know, build a nice little roster. You get hope in week one. Week one comes again next year. They suck. And we're back in here week two next year like – So that's just the reality. Maybe this is our lot in life as Bears fans. Maybe we have to suffer as long as the Lions fans did for us to finally say, maybe some change coming. Maybe something's going to happen. But even the Lions figured out offense before the Bears.
I'm 35, man.
The Lions have figured out offense before the Bears have. There have been plenty of 4,000-yard seasons in Stafford's career. Jared Goff's going to have one this year. They figured it out before the Bears. As terrible as the Bears were, Matt Stafford had plenty of good passing seasons. They figured it out before the Bills. Think about that. You let the Detroit Lions do that. And now the Detroit Lions have figured out how to be a good team. And you don't even know how to do that anymore. So
it's you haven't even found out how to be a middle-of-the-road team.
Not even middle-of-the-road. Just terrible. Like,
y'all niggas not even the Buccaneers, bro.
George McCaskey should be ashamed. This is something that your grandfather built, that your mother took over, and that you're even more – that you're terrible at. You're awful at. You have not hired anybody good in ever. When will you get out the way and say maybe some? I look at the Bears' like yearbook that they give every year to the media. I see 1,000 McCaskies up in there. Maybe one of them niggas know.
There's got to be one of you niggas who know football.
Maybe one of you niggas understand football because he clearly doesn't. And it's just a shame, bro. It's like, yes, you know how to build a financial juggernaut. You know how to make money hand over fist. But when will you care about the product on the field? Do you really get upset at these Bears games? You just go in and count your billions and call it a day. Like, do you really feel what fans are going through? We talk about, you know, athletes not having real jobs. They don't. But when people who are working class, who go home 5 days out the week, they're working 9 to 5, tough jobs. But when they get to Saturday and Sunday, they go, time to watch some football. And for most of us, that makes it all worth it. I can survive those 5 days out the week because I get to get home and watch a good football team. If you're a working class person in Kansas City, you know your team appreciates you because they found a working formula around the players and the coaches. When you needed a coach, you brought in somebody who was as skilled as Andy Reid, who was a legend like Andy Reid, and you even got Andy Reid to start winning Super Bowls. Something he couldn't do before then.
He couldn't do. He was a choke artist before.
And so when will they care about the feelings of the fans? You know, because me and Scott, we're in media, but we're still fans. I love this team. I truly love this team. I struggle sometimes to not say we. Oh, man, we just need this, and we're going to win. I have to learn. I remember when I first went on JP's show on Sportsnet, Comcast Sportsnet, he had to say, no, don't say we. Say him and Josh Friedman had to say, don't say we, say they. I was like, oh, yeah, I have to get that out there. But the reality is we, because I love this team. And then I have to see this product on the field, bro. I'll be in a press box like, or I get to where I am now, and I just don't care. I just don't care.
I mean,
I couldn't see myself doing this for 10 more years. I don't want to.
I don't think I can do this for less than that, nigga. Like,
I want to see a good team. Out the Bears start winning. Oh, it's a different story.
It's fun. You look forward. I don't look forward to this shit. I had to force myself to record this podcast today. And it's like, I was in Washington last week, bro. You know how many Bears fans was traveling out there when me and Pavy was by the Washington Monument and all downtown and you know seeing the White House shit like that. It was number Bears jerseys. These niggas had no win, and the fan base still comes out. They pay these ridiculously high prices to get in the shitty ass Soldier Field. Like, it costs $350 just to look at Soldier Field on Lakeshore Drive. Like, you paying all this shit. They're buying merchandise. They're buying expensive food and alcohol. They're clearing out their day. They're watching. It is a supportive franchise that makes a lot of money.
Yeah, go. Always, got 353 yards. Oh. And I said, better defense than ours. You know what he about to do?
And I say this about every owner, and when they, and I know I tell myself this, people also, Scott, you know, owners don't care about winning. That's fine. I get that it's money. But you do know, this is shit that blows my mind. From a business perspective, you do know that if you win, you're going to make more money. It's just natural. It's just common fucking sense. You're going to make more money if this team wins. And then we keep hearing about, I had one of my sources tell me they was in the box with Kevin Warren. And they said Kevin Warren lost his shit when they lost week one. How the fuck I know if that's true? And I'm not saying this person's lying. I believe what they're saying. But you ain't fired nobody, nigga. How upset are you really? And the inquiry is kept. We ain't heard nothing about that new stadium. We ain't heard nothing. They fumbling that shit. We ain't heard a mother. I ain't heard nothing about no stadium, and I don't know how damn long.
Fun fact, the Bears in profit made $190 million in profit last year. You know how many professional sports teams make more than that in the entire world?
How many?
Yes.
Five?
Four.
Do you know the names of those teams?
Only four. Oh, the Atlanta Falcons, the Giants, the Patriots, the Cowboys.
When in sports in the world?
Yeah.
Over soccer clubs?
Bro, the highest selling team in football, actual football, is Manchester City with a whopping $59
million. Wow, that's crazy.
Every NFL team makes more profit than every
the Falcons, are that high?
Yes. The Bills aren't even that profitable, which is crazy. The Bills only make $65 million in profit.
And yep. This is all sports. There's no NBA teams on here.
No.
That's crazy.
No.
That's crazy. And, like, it shows you just the impact. Like, and I'm going to keep bringing this back. I told y'all, football Knicks, nigga. Like, this is, like, Isaiah Thomas era Knicks, too. Like that era of Knicks basketball was so bad. But let's move on to Tyson Bagent. You suburban buckers wanted nigga so bad. Y'all got what y'all wanted. He went out there, was 10 of 14 from the field, 83 yards, no touchdowns, and an egregious interception at the end of that game.
He wasn't touched either. That was just a whopper. Yeah,
that was just a whopper. And also, he fumbled the ball, which was a touchdown. And this is what I said about Tyson Bagent. I'm not a Tyson Bagent hater. I don't want him to fail. I was actually rooting for him on that final drive because I want to win football games. I'm not in the lose for draft position the crowd anymore. I'm not doing that shit. I want them to win football games. But now you know that meme of the old dude pulling the other old dude's eyes, make him look like this, it don't even work with your little prize savior that you like because he was good in a couple preseason games. The shit around him stinks because you can't put shit around young quarterback and expect him to succeed, bro. Like, it was just bad. Like, I honestly think he played like an undrafted rookie. That's how I look at it. He played like an undrafted rookie. If you expect anything more than what he did today, you're stupid and you might be a racist. Like, it's just that's where I'm at with it, with Tyson Bagent. What did you feel about Tyson Bagent today?
I'm sorry. I'm still looking at the profitability of teams. I'm looking like the bar as it goes valuable. And it's funny how freaking MLB still makes it more revenue than the Premier League. I'm sorry. It's just in the NFL is just like miles ahead of everybody.
They also MLB also has 81 home games for each team. So
that's true. But yeah, so and the Dallas Cowboys are the number one team. The Yankees are ahead of the Bears. The Yankees.
What about the New York Yankees?
Also, I take it back. The Bears are number seven. Ahead of them are the Giants, the Rams, the Patriots, the Warriors, and then the Yankees.
Yeah,
the
I knew those. So I knew there was like an NBA team on this.
Those are the only two MLB teams anywhere near this list. Even the Jets make more. It's just amazing. The Commanders are number 12 in the entire world. So, I wonder, do owners like McCaskey sit back and think, we number seven in the world? I don't know what the Warriors' profitability was before Steph Curry. Was it this high? I know the Warriors are beloved, but no, was it this high?
The Warriors were kind of like the Bears. Like, they had like a great fan base.
Yeah.
But they were shit for a long time. When Steph Curry was actually drafted, motherfuckers.
Oh yeah, you're right. The 5-year change in value, the entire change since 2010, when Joe Lacob
and Peter Guber.
Yeah, he saw a 200% increase in his revenue. So what does that mean? That means that a good product will increase your revenue.
And you know what Peter Guber went and did with that? Peter Guber went and took that, went and bought the Dodgers with Magic, and went and bought LAFC with Magic. So they made more money from that shit. And so Steph Curry, when Steph Curry was drafted, people forget, people booed Joe Lacob and Peter Guba at Oracle when they traded Monte Ellis. So it's kind of the same thing. And then they got Steph, and it wasn't right away. Remember, it took Steph 3 to 4 years. Remember, we thought he wasn't going to be shit because his ankle made a paper mache. So it was kind of the same thing, but it's all about ownership, bro. And like, I understand the McCaskies are a family business. I'm not saying, I don't think they're going to sell the team. They need to. You need a owner with deep pockets and an owner who wants to fucking win.
You also have to realize why the NFL are amongst the most profitable. And when you look at revenue, why it's so much more is because there are 17 games. The NFL plays for a very small portion out of a year. A very small portion, and they rake in that much money. Whereas the NBA, the MLB, the Premier League, was it Bundesliga? I don't forget what the other one's called. La Liga. When all these play, they play for a much longer time. And because they play for a longer time, there are more opportunities. The NFL does in such a short time. And so I wonder, do the McCaskies, do all of them sit back and say, well, you know, we're making all this money. But I think the Bears would be even more profitable if they were a good team. Because if you increase the profitability of the Bears, they become a staple in the NFL, known for not only a fantastic defense, but fantastic offense. It makes their exposure even bigger. It makes the likability even bigger, their markability. Now people want to buy the names and the player, the names, the jerseys and the names attached to them. They want to buy merchandise that's around them. They want to watch the YouTube and the videos that you have. Like, it becomes so much more important. And the Cowboys, for as much crap as I talk about the Cowboys, they've had way more sustained success than the Bears.
That's because Jerry Jones is just senile, but Jerry Jones wants to win.
Yeah.
He's just senile. That's just really what it comes down to. And like you said, if the Bears went up for sale today, do you understand how much fucking money that fucking team would be worth if it hits the open market? It would be insanity. What, they pay $4 billion for the fucking Broncos?
Yeah.
$4 billion for the Broncos. They would fucking smash that shit. And let's just say, if you're the McCaskies, like you just said, if you don't want to sell, fine, cool. Actually build a respectable product on the fucking field. Actually get you that new stadium, which will get you more fucking money. It's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. There needs to be a line in the sand here. You either care or you don't. If you care, build a respectable product on the field. If you don't give a shit, sell the goddamn team, help the fans out, get yourself some money. You can have generational wealth. I know y'all seen Succession. The end of Succession. Do the Gojo deal, nigga. Do the Gojo deal. Is pissed off as Kendall and Shiv and Roman Roy was. Remember that last scene where Roman was at the bar and he was smiling like a fucking idiot? You know why? Because he was free. He made billions of dollars that day and he ain't got to deal with shit anymore. That could be George McCaskey. He could be at the fucking hotel in downtown Chicago, smile like Roman Roy, because the Bears are no longer in his life, and he's rich as shit. So do one of the two, man. Let's move on to Caleb Williams, because I feel we've been recording for an hour, and I don't really want to talk about these niggas anymore. Yeah, let's talk about what we saw.
I want to put on some lays before Sunday Night Football comes on.
Yeah.
Caleb didn't look good. He had his worst game as a pro. I don't know how many college quarterbacks who were stars in the NFL had – 3 interception games. I don't know. So he was bad. He was just awful. He was awful enough that I have to pause and go, ooh, is he going to be okay? Will this work out in the end? Because not only was he not seeing the field well, held onto the ball when his receivers, when his skill players peer were open, he threw it up. Like, he's getting pushed to the left side of the hash. He has a linebacker and a defensive end coming down on him, and he just threw it up. And I don't know why he did that. Like, I'm like, why would you throw that ball up? There was nothing over there. So, got picked out twice by the same person. Notre Dame has, I think, a top 10 defense in the league. But this is in the league, in the nation. But this is Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? Now, I get it. I don't think USC has beat Notre Dame at home in like 11 years or something crazy.
And Notre Dame, man, they were hitting hard. Who's my man, number zero? I forgot his name already. On Notre
Don't
Dame.
Don't expect me to know, nigga.
He was killing yesterday.
So, yeah, Trevor Lawrence. I'm going through all of Trevor Lawrence game logs to see if he ever had a 3-interception game. He may have. So, wow. Goodness gracious. From week 8 of the 2019 year, he stopped throwing interceptions. I'm sorry, that's just That's just crazy to me. So that was his sophomore year. Let's look at his freshman year. And Trevor Lawrence has never thrown three interceptions in a game in college.
Did Justin do that?
I think he threw three against Alabama.
Okay.
He was getting worse against Alabama.
I'll just give my thoughts on this while you're looking other stuff up. Yeah. But to me, yeah. I've been shout out to Mikey, one of the co-hosts. If I'm not gonna hold you, he hit me a couple weeks ago. He's like, "Yo, pay attention to the rest of USC schedule. We're gonna really see about Caleb." And then also, I was listening to,
because if he dogs this schedule, bring him up. I've seen enough. If he dogs this schedule, bring him up.
But also, Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah of ESPN Chicago, they said, I think Bleck or Abdallah is like a diehard USC fan. And he said, "I love Caleb Williams, but he's a little bit of a front runner. He's like, when we're winning and kicking ass, he's smiling, doing all this shit. When he's losing, he does a lot of front runner shit." He said, "So not only pay attention to the schedule against tougher defenses, pay attention to his body language." So I made sure to pay attention to that last night. A lot of bad body language from Caleb Williams. I'm going to read this from our guy, Adam Johns. He put this in his article today. This is what Adam Johns said about Caleb Williams. He said, "What stood out to me before the game was that Williams didn't break down his team." By the way, Adam Johns was at the game yesterday, so this is his account from actually being at the game. He said, "What stood out to me before the game was that Williams didn't break down his team despite two pregame opportunities. Instead, he stood on the outside of his teammates who were gathered together. He did his own thing. When the USC offense gathered as a group before taking the field for his possessions, Williams warmed up separately. He wasn't one of the captains at the coin toss. He was the last player out of the locker room when USC took the field before the game started." So this is stuff that Adam Johns was saying while watching the game. And this is stuff that we didn't see. So when I was watching the game, stuff that I see, when he would throw interceptions, he looked dejected. He wasn't talking to his team. He got sacked. He's yelling at his fucking offensive lineman. It was a lot of negative traits that I saw on top of just his shitty play on the fucking field. So if you take that, and I said this on my tweet, I think Caleb, no matter what happens the rest of this schedule, is a really good prospect. And 9 times out of 10, if he's there, the Bears should and probably will take him. No. But I just don't think he's this can't-miss generational prospect. I don't think he's a more can't-miss prospect than Trevor Lawrence. To say he's over Joe Burrow is just like some of the nastiest shit I've ever seen in my life. Joe Burrow had arguably the best season we've seen from a college quarterback maybe ever. So you get all of that. You see how he's performed in a very hard-hitting defense in USC. This is who you got the rest of the couple weeks. You got Utah. You got Utah next week. You got California. You got Cal after that. You got Washington. You saw Washington was hitting them niggas yesterday against Oregon. What them niggas gonna do to this Oregon, soft ass
best defense in the nation?
Yeah. What they gonna do against these soft ass USC niggas? Then you got Oregon. Right, Washington, Oregon back to back is like what? Like, and then you closed up against UCLA.
Throwing you off the club is what they do.
Yeah. That's a rivalry game, and UCLA's defense is pretty good, too. We're going to learn a lot about Caleb Williams up in these last couple of days. They might not be top 25 anymore coming up. So that's what I'm looking for as a Bears fan. Now, we're officially in Caleb watch, because it doesn't really even matter what the Bears do win or loss-wise. You see Carolina? Niggas are 0-6. They're not winning the game anytime soon. No. Unless I see no scenario. Honestly, at this point, I see no scenario where the Bears don't have the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
It's just the question now is whether they're going to have 1-2 or 1-3.
Yeah. So I was looking at the stats of Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence throughout their college career. Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence have never had a three interception game in college. Justin had one against Indiana, which I remember that game. It was a tough game for no reason, but they won that game. He threw for 300, had 2 touchdowns. So it was bad, but at least he had 2 touchdowns to make that look better, I guess. But yeah. So to say he was, when I saw this, I'll probably pick him up with Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. I said, I don't know about that. Joe Burrow was like, "Oh, he's going to be good," because Joe Burrow looked like he was playing against children. He's like, "Oh, this guy's clearly in the NFL. And what is Joe Burrow doing now?" Joe Burrow's taking off again. So, yeah, that's
yeah, he just had a calf injury. Anybody who thought it was anything more than an injury for my man Joey B, you're out of your fucking minds. Like,
so I say all that to say that the Bears are probably going to have the number one pick again. If they continue to stink, they will probably have a top five pick in addition to that number one pick. My hope is that Patriots and I forgot who else is near that win another game or two to put the Bears in the position to get that. With Caleb, he's not an infallible project. Part of him, I think, is honestly going to be a project when it comes to him. You got
to
make sure
you need to get the right people in the building.
Have to get the right people in the building. I would prefer if they were experienced. So I have questions about him. I have questions about him, his ability to get the ball out quick. He can. We've seen it plenty of times. But I've also seen him processing very oddly, where I don't know, does he want the person to be wide open? Because this is college. They can be wide open pretty easily. So, or is he just looking for a home run ball? And then when you're about to be sacked, are you willing to just take a sack? Because quite often, you just need to take the sack. And it's fine. It sucks. But I would rather have a sack and then punt it than have a turnover. I think that's just, you know, unless you're doing a punt throw where you're throwing it 60 yards down the field for a punt, you know, it's going to be picked off. I don't want to see something like I saw yesterday. So he has a tough schedule. He did well against Utah last year. I think he had 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. They lost, but he did well last year. So it's possible for him to still be good. And maybe that was just a one-off bad game. I don't know.
Maybe.
It could be.
Like you said yesterday, you'd be foolish to write this kid off.
Yeah, no, I laughed just because it felt good for me to.
It's Twitter jokes.
It felt good for me to sit back and say, I've told you all there are reasons to be concerned, because a lot of people were calling him just infallible. And I think, what? The same way people are like, oh, you know, put Tyson Badgett in and see what he can do. I'm like, why?
That's not how football works.
And this mentality of put somebody else in, that sometimes you need to deal with a player, help them iron out the kinks that they're dealing with so they can be better. It's happened to plenty of quarterbacks across the history of the NFL. For some reason, we're in a time and an age where you want instant gratification. It doesn't work out most of the time. He's coming off of a solid sophomore year campaign where he started the entire year. And you're like, oh, it's something to build off of. Started slow, started to get on a little tear, and has a rough day, but you probably wouldn't blame this on him because there were much more issues than himself. So let's see what else he can do. Let's just not write him off. I'm rooting for Justin. I still think he'll have a solid year in his totality. Whether or not he'll be the starter, my overwhelming consensus right now is no for next year, because it's hard for me to see the Bears pass up on Caleb. But if Caleb stinks going forward the rest of the year, then you're stuck with him. Then you have to bring in people who can develop him, because I don't think Penix or Bo Nix or Travis from Florida or Drake May from North Carolina. I don't think those are – I think these are all backups for their careers. I don't see starter in any of them. So the only player who I think is for sure is Caleb. And if Shadur stays another year, I think he'll be prepared for the NFL next year.
Yeah, at first I was like, no, Shadur needs another year. Shadur needs another year.
Yeah, it's skill there. He can throw the rock. Yeah. He has touch. He has accuracy. He doesn't know how to manipulate the pocket well enough.
And he takes
too many bad sacks where he's athletic enough to get out of the pocket and move.
Yeah.
I don't know if he doesn't trust in his athletic ability. Maybe he's just comfortable being in the pocket, but he needs to learn that. So I think another year, especially in a Power 5 actual team, would be better than the competition he was facing at Jackson State. So
also, my dog Travis Hunter got to pick a side. He going to die if he keep playing both. And he got dragged. He got dragged on Saturday. No, Friday.
That's tough for him, because I thought he was in great position.
He's in great position. He just got dragged.
He's not strong enough. He has to put
on some weight. I'm just saying, for his health, he needs to pick a side.
He has to put on some weight. In addition to that, he's going to have to probably – he's a better, much better defender than he is receiver. So that's all I have. I don't even care about this team enough.
I will say this as we wrap this up. Football, as easy as we say, like you said, it's not rocket science, but it's also situations. You can have the most talent you can have in the world. Andy Reid, like Patrick Mahomes needed Andy Reid to mold him. Honestly, he needed Alex Smith to help him. You know what I'm saying? Like, to get him to the quarterback that he is right now. That's one thing. Patrick Mahomes always praises those two. When it comes to his development, we can sit up here, Peyton Manning needed Tony Dungy. He needed Tom Moore, who he called his offensive guru, to help him mold him to the Hall of Fame quarterback that he will. We forget Peyton threw 26 interceptions first 2 years. He was shaky. You get you a better system like you had there, you know, with Tom Moore, with Tony Dungy, help become the quarterback he is. Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick. He needed Romeo Crennel to get him to the quarterback he is. So it's all about situations as well. You know what I'm saying? Very rarely do you have situations. Like, I think Joe Burrow is probably the only quarterback we've seen recently where we know his coaches really aren't good, but he's just that fucking good any damn way.
No, I don't think there is a good quarterback in the history of the NFL who's ever had bad coordinators.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're I don't think they're nothing special.
I think they're also good too. I think they lift each other up by their play. But if you can list me all of the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, I don't think any of the young ones ever had bad coordinators. Now, the great ones who were established, like let's say Tom Brady would have went to when he went to Tampa Bay, and let's say Bruce Arians wasn't good. Tom Brady is experienced and good enough to where he probably would have gotten over. But young quarterbacks definitely need good to great coordinators for them to be successful. You'll see flashes like with Bryce. You saw flash of how good he can be today, but that's all you'll see. So
yeah. So that's all we got for y'all today, man. We ain't did an hour pod in a long time. This is the first time we've done an hour pod in a minute. We will be back next week. Joe, you will be in the building for the Raiders game, which might be Tyson Badgett versus whoever their backup quarterback is. Because Jimmy G back was – they got him the fuck up out of here today. So that might be a nasty backup bowl next week. I will be I won't be that game, but I'll be at the Sunday Night Football game in 2 weeks at SoFi Stadium.
Hopefully it's not Badgett.
Huh?
Is it a Thursday night game after that?
No, it's New Orleans after the Chargers. Then it's Thursday night game. Yeah.
Then it's the bye week? No, bye week's not.
Their bye week is late. Their bye week isn't until the last weekend in December. And I mean last weekend in November, which I plan on going to New York to see the Hove exhibit for about 24 hours and come right back since flights are looking very cheap. But so that's what I plan on doing for that. But he'll be back next week, and then I don't know what the fuck we'll be talking about next week, but that's pretty much all we got for y'all, man. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare.net, 79th and Hallis, 79th and Hallis. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network, man. And we gonna holler at y'all. We up out of here. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the new.